Blog Talk Radio.
Help me out a minute.
Don't let that flag hit the ground.
Make it rain.
Live from Patriot Studios, this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, the chiropractors of conservatism, the madmen of motivation, Michael B. and Uncle Bing. Bill is coming for you, Obama. What about you, Corker? Feel us breathing down your neck, Dewhurst? You rhinos are gone. We're going to stick the dogs on you, Obama. You're done, boy. Hey, Uncle Bing, what's up, brother?
Hey, man, I'm excited. How are you?
I'm doing good this Sunday, man. It's been a very productive morning. You introduced me to D-Rock Country. We're going to play a little bit of him. He may call in today. Don't know for sure, but we're definitely going to get him on the show. We've got Brother Aaron on and Brother Rick and Johnny Marshall. We got Danny on. Teresa Bruschi may be calling in here in the second hour. Fred, our buddy from Tradam. Real quickly, let me just go ahead and put out that blog, URL. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com. If you're not signed in or signed up, I recommend you go ahead and sign up now so that you can, because as every Sunday, that's where post-show chat is. So go ahead and sign up there now if you're not a member of traditionalmovement.com. I'll go into some places I want to promote. We do have a special song for our out today, but I'm so excited about it. Brother Bing, after you rant, before you go to the courthouse to meet Brother Poshkovich, I may have to play that song. So, but with that, I read your rant. You got a good one. Get after it.
I also want to say, too, Lisa Mae Norton should be calling in today, about maybe four, a little bit after that, from Big Dog Music Mafia. Very good sister friend of ours. She was out in Gibson when Gibson was being raped by the government, and she's a very good patriot. You're going to love her.
So she works with Gibson when they were getting down on them about their importing their frets and whatnot?
No, we all went out there to rally with Ben Cunningham and a bunch of other patriots because we were mad about it, you know. We're tired about, you know, the government sitting there coming in and stealing Gibson's wood under some kind of BS treaty that they got signed with some country. So, you know, we went out there all, and I ended up working security, whatever I could do, you know. But Lisa was there singing, and it was great, you know.
Oh,
Nationalizing was there. We had a great time, and it was for a great cause. And these people still have not been charged with a crime. They still have not got their wood back. So we can't forget about people like Gibson.
No, we can't. Hey, just real quickly, Brother Bing, before you do your rant, I just want to throw a shout out. We got a lot of good people in the chat room, you know, TB Fred and Rick and everybody. But my sensei, John LaRosa, in the house, in the chat room. Good to see you, Brother John. I'm glad you could join us today. So anyway, I know you're getting ready to hit the road and head over to the courthouse because, like us here in Texas, Brother Uncle Bing, you guys are in crunch time there in Tennessee for the 2nd of August, as ours is on the 31st of July. So the floor is yours, my brother.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, I'm getting ready to meet Zach, and I tell you what, when I get back, I'm going to be so fired up because there's something about that dude just gives you energy. Every time you meet him, every time you talk to him, he imparts that to you. And my rant basically is, what are we fighting for? Well, somebody may want to roll over and let the Marxists roll over us. I prefer to fight. What are we fighting for, you ask? We're fighting for our families, our liberties. We fight because it is in our veins as the blood that flows therein. We fight because it is the right thing to do. We fight against tyranny and oppression, and we fight against those that want to destroy capitalism and the Constitution. Remember, capitalism and the Constitution are tied at the hip. They're actually one and the same in that they both, the Constitution and capitalism, are the fuel that our great nation needs for our existence. It is that fuel of freedom that powers our society, and I'll make an enemy out of anybody that stands in the way of either. The very thing that has empowered us to be such a great nation is the very thing that the Marxists and liberals want to take away from us. They so hate themselves, they're miserable in this country, that they will do whatever is necessary and even not in their power to deprive us of the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. How much longer are we going to lay down like lambs waiting for the slaughter? You know, I almost have more respect for Democrats because they know they want to destroy this country. They have a plan. Rather than so-called Republicans that go unwittingly or intentionally along with them. Not that I dislike the GOP at all, but they need to realize that their party is being subverted from within, just like the Democratic Party has already been subverted. They better come to the understanding before it's too late for the rest of us. The Democratic Party has had the rug pulled out from under them for quite some time now. We all know that. I would hate to see that happen to the GOP, but it seems to me that they have become the GOMP, Grand Old Moderate Party. For the last 30 years, and it is high time that they snap out of that mentality, or we knock some sense into them with our vote. We can't dance around the issues anymore. We can't try to fix bills and law that are broken in the first frickin' place. And we can't or will not negotiate with the enemy any longer. Moderates of the world, take notice. We conservatives want conservative candidates with the balls to stand up for what is right to represent us in the right way. We don't want little nanny boys and girls who want to reach across the aisle to shake hands with the enemy. We want strong, tough, courageous men and women to fight for us, not lie down waiting to be the next meal at the liberal freak fest. So whatever you do this year, make sure you do it right, and make sure you vote conservatives, not little nanny boys and girls in power, so we can at least attempt to repair what the enemy has done. Because I think, and I fear, if we don't get this right this year, we won't have another chance. That's it.
That's your editorial, and you're sticking to it.
That's it, man.
I love it. That's motivational. And, you know, you made some good points in there, and we alluded to it last week, Uncle Bing. You know, we're going to do one more time this year. One more time. We conservatives, we're gonna stick with our party, and we're going to vote anybody but Obama. That means we're going to vote for Mitt Romney. But let the GOP be on notice. This is the last year. We're not going to do a John McCain 3.0. We're doing 2.0 now. And he better pick a good VP. Condi was a good Secretary of State. I have a lot of admiration for that woman, but she ain't a VP choice. And if he wants to destroy what confidence we're slowly, slowly getting in him, ever so slowly, that would be the worst mistake he could make, Brother Bing, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. McCain, look, the only way McCain actually got votes was because Palin was on his side.
Yeah.
I think he would have lost by a landslide if she was not on there. So, I mean, yeah, we just got to – this reaching across the aisle mentality, we have to get away from it. We have to. It's destroying us. And
yeah.
It's not accomplishing anything. All we're doing is we're sitting there voting along with – we're trying to fix things as they break them. And what we need to do is we need to stop them from breaking things in the first place.
Yeah, no more Band-Aids. I mean, compromise is not in our vocabulary any longer. We will cooperate. That's the only C word that we're going to use in our vocabulary anymore with rhinos and Democrats. We will cooperate, but we will no longer compromise.
That's correct. Brother Michael, I got to take off real quick so I can meet Zach and get these signed. So I'll be back in just a little bit, man.
All right, Brother Bing. Drive safely. Get back safely because I need my partner. Rook, our phones are stacking up, Brother Bing, so I'm going to go ahead and you do what you got to do. I'll talk to you on the flip side. Our phones are stacking up. Let me give that phone number because I got room for more. This is the roundtable edition this afternoon. We did not, Bing and I intentionally did not book a guest because the last several weeks we've been booked with Ted Cruz, with my buddy Virginia Proden, who will probably be joining us today in the roundtable. We've had Zach on lately. We've had a lot of guests on. Today, I want to give my friends, you all, everyone in the chat room, everyone that's on the switchboard now, this is y'all's show. Bing and I and Danny and Rick and everybody at CNR, we do these shows because they're your shows. And we encourage you to call in. That number is 718-305-7176. Have a good time at the pool with the kids, honey. I'll talk to y'all later. My wife and kids are fixing to go to the pool. Real quickly, before I go into my little rant, I was hoping that I could have the patience to play this until the end of the show, but I don't. So we're going to play it now, and then we're going to play it again as our outro. But you guys, if you don't know D-Rock, if you don't know The Colors I Fly, you're about to know it now. I encourage you to sign up at BigDogMusicMafia.com. This is patriotic music at its finest. And D-Rock, he rocks. I've got the link to the YouTube video on there in the liner notes, as well as to Big Dog Music. D may join us today. I don't know, but we will be doing a show with D. I hope. I feel confident that will happen. As being said, Lisa will be calling in here in a little while. But for right now, I want you to check this out because this will pump you up. We'll come out of this with my editorial.
Red, white, and blue.
Now, I'm talking here and I'm on mute because I'm so pumped up from that song. Yes, indeed, that's D-Rock from Big Dog Music Media, The Colors I Fly. And this is Michael B., and I am red, white, and blue until the day I die. You know, Patriots, I just want to give you my editorial real quick, and then we're going to bring everybody on. We're going to open up these lines, and we're going to have 2 hours, well, an hour and 30 minutes or so of venting. I've got some great folks on the line, Aaron, Johnny, Rick, Virginia Proden, my buddy from Dallas, who were fortunate enough to have on last week, Danny, Kurt's on the line, Scott Osborne, Johnny Marshall's on. So we've got us a powerhouse-packed show today with some fine conservative patriot activists. But you know, it occurs to me that many of us throughout America are the descendants of Revolutionary War fathers and mothers. Those patriots, some known, most not, who sacrificed their lives, a willing sacrifice in the cause of human liberty. I'm an example of just such a person. Several of my fifth great grandfathers fought for our country's independence, fought in the wars of 1812, suffered the horrors of a civil war among brothers. Yes, they helped, just as many of y'all's ancestors did, to give us this land of freedom. My family, like many native Texans whose families have resided within the borders of Texas since it was a northern state in the United States of Mexico and then a republic, came from the great volunteer state of Tennessee. Tennessee, the home of Old Hickory, Andrew Jackson himself, the great war hero of all the battles of the War of 1812, our second Revolutionary War, or perhaps just a continuation of the first, is called the Volunteer State because of the sheer number of volunteers who stepped up to defend America in the wars of 1812 and then later in the Mexican-American War. So the next time you speak to a native Tennessean, acknowledge the sacrifice their ancestors made. It's safe to say revolution is bred into the very existence of us, the core of who we are. It's what constitutes us all as Americans. However, allow me to speak to my Texan forefathers, sons and grandsons of those American Revolutionary War heroes who fought at San Jacinto and were at the Treaty of Alaska in 1836, who suffered the Mexican invasions of 1842, who leveled the foundation and laid the cornerstones and built with their bare hands a free and independent republic that later became the 28th state of this great union, and then fought in the Mexican-American War in 1846. Our antecedents were invited into Texas by the Mexican government, and they settled under the Constitution of 1824 and the laws guaranteeing them the rights and privileges that constituted an inducement to leave the land of their birth and seek a new home. The Constitution and laws they pledged an oath to was a Constitution that was drafted in the same spirit of freedom as was our American Constitution. I've got a point here, friends. I'm getting to it. As long as the American population who came to Texas and became Mexican citizens as bona fide as though they were born on the soil were permitted to enjoy the rights and immunities guaranteed to them by the Constitution and the laws under which they had settled in the country, they remained quiet, obedient to the laws. But when the Constitution under which the Americans had been invited into Texas was subverted by despotism, erected upon the ruins of a federal union, the people of Texas met in solemn convention and declared their determination not to submit to this lawless usurpation. From this, our Texan forefathers declared their independence, and the events of the Revolution of 1836 grew, the results of which are known worldwide. My point is this. We are a peaceful people. We are content to live under the laws. We're content to abide by those laws and go quietly about our business. But when the very document that doesn't give us our rights or our freedom, but rather protects those freedoms we're born with, our God-given rights, are trampled on,
We will not sit still and quietly submit to this usurpation. If anyone on the left thinks that we Tennesseans, we Texans, we Americans are not up to this fight, let me remind you, it's bred into our blood. And there is only one thing worse than pissing on the Alamo or desecrating King's Mountain, and that is pissing on our Constitution of the United States. By stepping one perfidious foot of your putrid lies and deception into our house, you declared war on America, and we say no more. Your challenge has been called. Let me quote Sam Houston from the eve of the Battle of San Jacinto on April 20th, 1836. We view ourselves on the eve of this battle. We're nerved for the contest, and we must conquer or perish. It is vain to look for present aid. None is at hand. We must now act or abandon all hope. Rally to the standard and be no longer the scoff of mercenary tongues. Be men. Be free men, that your children may bless their father's name. You've been warned, Obama. This is personal to us, to we Americans, and we will not profane the memory of our ancestors or what they fought and suffered to leave us, a nation of free men and women. Here endeth the lesson. Let me bring in my buddies here. I'm going to open up the mics. Aaron, Bing, if you're still there, Johnny Marshall, Rick, Virginia Proden. Virginia, go ahead and take it.
Mike, I just want to thank you so much for doing such a great job and reminding us that we received something really special, and that is the freedom and the rights that comes from God, and we have to protect them, that we are responsible for what we are doing so we can look later on in our children's eyes and say that, yes, we were brave and we fought for what was right. And I want to remind everybody that every action, everybody's action is important. We are a puzzle, just a piece of puzzle of the big picture that is our country, our rights, and the treasure and the heritage that we will leave to our children. So it's freedom is important. It's precious to those who don't have it. And you know my story because you heard it last week. Everyone.
Absolutely, Sister Virginia. And, you know, I want to say to my editorial, I was speaking to more or less to folks whose families came here prior to the American Revolution. But let me just say that boil that burns in our blood, it doesn't only boil in the blood of those whose families have been here since prior to 1776. It boils in the blood of patriots like Virginia Proden, who fought against communists and socialists like Nikolai Ceausescu. And nobody better than Virginia can tell us where we're heading. We had her on the show last week. I encourage you to pull it up in the archive and take a listen to it. This lady fought against socialism on a scale that we can't begin to imagine, but that we're starting to see creep into our society. In Virginia, I want to thank you. You're as much a patriot as anybody I know that was born on this soil, my friend.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you so much for reminding people that if we don't fight, that's exactly what's going to happen. And I do not believe that anybody who is informed would love to have that kind of a country or that kind of situation in their lives. If we fight now, it's much easier than if we decide to fight later on when things will be so hard to change. So I want to thank you so much, Michael, and thank everyone who takes their responsibility so seriously. And most of all, we know, all of us, that one day we will respond for what we did in a situation like this, in front of our children, grandchildren, and of course in front of God, who gives us opportunity to fight and who will protect us. Once again, I just want to encourage everybody to look inside, to hear what job they have, and to be encouraged to know that they are important and they are part of an amazing puzzle of fighters for freedom. Thank you so much again, Michael, for giving us an opportunity to express and be together with all the fighters for freedom.
Well, thank you, Virginia. And stick around if you can. If you're busy, I understand. I'm just gonna leave you parked where you're at. If you have to disconnect, go ahead. I will talk to you either later tonight or this tomorrow or something. Because folks, Virginia, my wife Angela, and I, the three of us, we're heading down to San Antonio next weekend. We're staying across the street from the Alamo at the Indigo Alamo for Texas Freedom for Rally on those sacred grounds, that hollow spot consecrated by the blood of Travis, of Bowie, of Bonham, of Crockett, and many other noble hearts who yielded their lives a willing sacrifice in the cause of liberty. And we will be there on those grounds fighting for liberty once again next Saturday. So, Virginia, hang tight, buddy, because someone may have a question for you, but we're having a round table. I'm gonna perk back up here to the top.
I will do my best. My battery is really low, but I will stay online as long as I can.
Thank you, Virginia. We're going to pop up here to Aaron. Johnny, you're on deck. Aaron, pop in here. What do you want to vent, rant about? What do you have to say? The floor is yours, my man.
Oh, I just wanted to say how excited I am that Ted Cruz is doing so well in Texas. And I don't know if everybody's aware, but there were some polls that came out this week that showed him leading. So he was losing by 10 points on Election Day a month and a half ago, and he's now leading by 5 to 10 points at the moment. And I think that the most exciting thing is that it's, you know, conservatives who and Tea Party people and so forth who realize how important it is to get, especially given our nominee, to get someone who's really principled in the United States Senate. And if I could just read two quotes from one of the polling reports.
You go.
The race is one of the most stark examples of the Tea Party movement propelling a candidate that we've seen to date. 40% of voters identified themselves as members of that movement, and Ted Cruz has a 71-26 advantage with them, a 3-1 advantage. And then the second one is the fact that David Dewhurst is leading by 50 points with moderates, yet still losing overall, is a pretty good sign of how relevant that voter bloc is within the Republican Party these days. And I would just say that if, you know, anybody knows anybody who's got an ear with the Romney camp, they would do well to take note of this. Because, you know, if they can prove to the base somehow that he is not the wishy-washy candidate we think he is, and that he has truly seen religion, so to speak, he will run away with this election. And that's what I would say to that. And if anybody wants to read this, and I posted the Virginia's video from last week, I mean, Virginia's YouTube video, and an article I've written about why it's so important to elect Ted Cruz, says it Romney, then go to my blog, which is ionfreedom.com, EYEONFREEDOM.com.
Also a good
Ion Freedom on Twitter.
Also a good tweet to follow on Twitter, at Ion Freedom. And that is an awesome article, by the way, Aaron.
Thank you very much.
Let's go ahead, Aaron, and let's pull Johnny Marshall in here. Johnny said he may not have a whole lot of time. He was going to hang with us as long as he could. Johnny is an activist here in Tarrant County. We've got some things going on here. Johnny is someone that, I tell you what, look for him on Facebook, Johnny Marshall. This guy knows politics. Johnny, come on in here.
Hey, well, I agree with what the other gentleman said about Ted Cruz. We are truly fortunate to have him here next Texas U.S. Senator. But the people in North Texas and all over Texas, they can't just quit, you know, campaigning and working with this guy because it's not over till it's over, and we absolutely cannot let the RNC and the NRSC have their hand-picked guy Dewhurst in this election. We got to make sure we prevent that from happening. This thing you got going on down in Austin, I mean down in San Antonio, is that part of the Crank It Up Adrian group, or that something different?
No, this is Voices in Power and Weston Martinez with, I believe, the Texas Tea Party group. It's going to be a big rally. I don't know how many thousands of people. I'm not even going to venture a guess. I'm hoping 36,000 people show up in front of the Alamo, but, you know, who knows? It may be one of us. It just may be me standing there in my kilt with my Doc Martens on and my face painted like an American flag holding my Gadsden flag. And if that's all it is, you can bet that I'll be on the front page of the San Antonio Light. But I venture to say there's going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of us there standing and fighting for freedom in the same vein as our forefathers who came from all over this great country, from Kentucky, from Tennessee, from Alabama, from the northern states in the Northeast, came to Texas looking for freedom in the early 1830s. And ended up taking their freedom by force when the Constitution that they had pledged an oath to had been usurped by the dictator Santa Anna. And, you know, Johnny, the reason I bring that up and the reason that I liken what's happening now to what happened then, folks, the Constitution of 1824, which was the Constitution that the United States of Mexico drafted after they gained their independence from Spain, was a constitution that was modeled nearly word for word after the American Constitution, and it was part of the inducement for our forefathers coming here. And that constitution was being usurped, much like we see happening now. And, you know, we Texans don't stand alone. My buddy John LaRosa up in Boston, my brother Danny Schaus, Rick over in Florida, Teresa in Minnesota. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. We're tired of this person usurping our Constitution. And it's in that vein, you see, because in the American Revolutionary War, the Constitution hadn't been usurped. It hadn't been written yet. We were fighting for the freedoms that we believed we were born with. By the time we got to Texas and we fought with our freedom, fought for our freedom, a constitution much like the one that we lived on, that our forefathers lived under in America, had been usurped. And that's exactly what we see happening now. And Virginia, who just her call just dropped, she, better than anybody, Johnny, can tell us how socialism sneaks in. Nicolae Ceausescu, he started with nationalizing the economy and nationalizing health care. Does that sound familiar to you, Johnny?
Absolutely. Absolutely does. And what aggravates me, probably I'm the only guy in Texas that believes this, what aggravates me is our Republicans that we elected are doing absolutely nothing to stop this guy from destroying America. I just can't understand what the hell's wrong with him.
Neither can I. Johnny, let's bring Rick Bulo in here, and then Brother Schaus, you're on deck.
No, Michael.
How's it going, brother?
What's going on? How's it going with you?
It's going good. I'm in a mood today.
Michael, you are always in a good mood.
Well, I don't know that I'm in a good mood, brother, but I'm in a mood.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, like, we need to do whatever we can in order to win back this election this year. I mean, many people don't know this, but I mean, we are in the last quarter. I mean, right now, okay, I consider the conventions to be in football to be the 2-minute warning. So we got until now, until the conventions to really formulate a game plan, and then from the conventions to the election. Work on it.
Yeah, well, we have to. And, you know, for those folks out there and all of us that are on the line, and Brother Schaus, you're up next. But all of us, and you might can elaborate on this, brother, all of us that have been been doing this fighting for some time now. We're none too happy about Mitt Romney being our nominee, but he is. And it, in my mind, it comes down to this. Am I going to vote against Obama or am I going to vote for Obama? Well, I can guarantee you he ain't getting my vote. And there's only one way to vote against Obama, and that is to vote for our current nominee. To vote for anybody else is to vote for Obama. And I can't live. I can't look at my kids. I can't snuggle them in my bed at night or in their bed at night and say to them that I have tried my hardest to give them a land of freedom, to give them the opportunity to have the opportunities that I had when I was a young man. Danny, what do you think about that, Brother Schaus, or anything else?
Exactly right, Michael. I mean, you know, it's so hard now to look at your kids and tell them, you know, work hard and study hard and do the best you can do and you'll be successful. I mean, when we see the direction our country's headed in and you know deep in your heart that you're actually lying to them if we don't turn things around.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, as a young man, I worked in a filling station pumping gas. Now, you might ask, what does that have to do with anything? Well, if we don't fight the tyranny that's currently occupying our White House, we're all going to be living off the dole, the government teat, as if you will. Where is the encouragement from half of this country to teach future generations to pick themselves up by their bootstraps and work for what they earn? You know, there was a time in this country, Brother Schaus, and Brother Kurt, you're up on deck. There was a time in this country when what we see happening right now was called theft, when you stole from people their services. And that is exactly what this administration is promoting. Brother Kurt, come on in here. What say you?
You don't have to overlook me there, Michael. I was my ear was doing something else at the moment, and I didn't catch what was going on in the conversation there. My focus right now is on one thing, and that's the Zach Poskovich campaign. We've been on the road. We had two good days the latter part of the week. We were down in Tipton County. That's down close to Memphis. Tipton County and in Shelby County itself, and then out in Fayette County working that area. That's a high-density population. I discovered that the Tipton County, for instance, just outside of Memphis, has twice the population of my home county. Therefore, I'm going to spend twice as much time in Tipton County as I spend here because I'll see that many more people. It's a matter of numbers now. There's a spring inside of me that's every so often I hear a click, and when I hear that click, I know what it is. It's that spring has wound one notch tighter, and it's not going to – that spring's not going to give any relief until the 2nd of August. This primary down here is extremely important. There are a lot of important ones out there, but this one is personal to me. I have had bad experience with Bob Corker for the last 2 years, and I guess you could say I'm taking out my frustrations. We started looking for a candidate, and I think I've said this before, we started looking for a candidate to run against him on the 4th day of November 2010, and then in 2011 we found Zach. And we've been going at that ever since. And that's the main focus for me right now. Okay?
Well, and it should be. You know, Bob Corker, for those of you that don't know, let me tell you what we all know, what we all think of Bob Corker. Let me tell you what the general thinks, Mark Levin. All right, I've had the opportunity to speak with Brother Mark. And as I told him, on one time I was on his show, he's one of our generals. I look at Brother Levin as a leader in the conservative constitutional conservative movement. And I told Brother Levin, Brother Kurt, that I view him as one of our generals. And you know what he thinks about Bob Corker? He calls him the damn dirty weasel. Brother Scott Osborne on the line, one of two of our new social, Kurt, and that gave us a good segue, Kurt, into...
Go for it, man.
Yeah, into bringing in one of the two new social media coordinators for the Zach Poskovich campaign. Let me bring on here Scott Osborne. Scott, anything you want to say to anything that's been said or anything that you want to just say in general, the floor is yours, my brother. And thank you for calling in. What a blessing it is. You know, folks, real quickly, Scott, I just got to tell a quick story. This is something I've preached about and preached about on various groups when candidates have dropped out and whatnot, and people start arguing and bickering. And I've always tried to maintain a certain level of decorum. And let me tell you why. This is a good example. All right. Scott Osborne and I go back to last summer on Team Kane, along with our brother Scott Whitting. And they went their direction with their presidential choice. I went mine with my presidential choice. And they weren't the same candidates. There was mutual respect for each other's decisions, a certain level of decorum that was maintained. And when I came on board, when I was fortunate enough to be asked by Melissa Bohannon to come on board and help with Zach the best that I could from Patriot Studios here in Texas, I bumped back into some old dear friends who brought me into this grassroots activism and encouraged me, saw the fire that I had and the possible talent that could be manicured. And this is one of the men who encouraged me, my brother Scott Osborne. Scott, the floor is yours.
You know what, Mike? I'm glad you said that, because I was going to say I remember your first show, my man. And, you know, you Facebooked me or you emailed me something, and you said, I'm going to start a show. Can you help me anyway? And, boy, Michael, you jumped out of the starting gate on fire, and you have been on fire ever since. And I am so proud of you. You've done a great job. The Blog Talk Radio is more than just radio. Blog Talk Radio accomplishes things. We don't have millions of people in our audiences, but we accomplish things, and you've been accomplishing things. And one of the things that you've accomplished is you have got a group of people that call into your show that all work together on different things behind the scenes. And so just, man, giant kudos to you. You're doing a great job. I don't get to call in very often. Sunday, I generally get home 3, 4 in the afternoon from my day. But I listen to the podcast, and you're doing great.
Thank you very much, brother. I appreciate it. And you know what? I remember that day you're talking about, and I remember that very first show, it was very hard for me to not cry through the entire show because, you know, I wear my passion on my sleeve. And it was you and other folks, Danny Schaus and Scott Whitting and Steve Williams and a lot of other people that really pulled me through and helped and manicured me. And it's my honor. It's my privilege. That's why my shows have always been about all of y'all. I mean, this isn't my show. It's not Bing's show. It's our show.
Yeah, and you're just doing great. And thank you for your support of Zach. And, you know, also, Danny Schaus, thank you so much for your support of Zach. You know, it's really important, and that's one of the reasons I wouldn't talk about anything over the next 3 weeks except for Zach Poskovich. Melissa and Teresa Brusky and I are on an all-out push for the next 3 weeks until we get his name on the ballot and head towards the general primary. We're going to win this. Teresa and I kind of stand quietly behind Melissa all day long, every day, trying to be as much shoulder as we can to her. And Teresa and I have signed on for the next 3 weeks. Well, it's less than 3 weeks now, isn't it? To really give us an all-out push. We're going to be doing some stuff on Twitter. We're going to be doing some stuff on Facebook. We're going to be attacking Corker. We're going to pop this cork. We can do this. There's some things going on in front and some things going on in the back. I believe Zach Poskovich is going to be the next senator of the state of Tennessee. I believe he deserves it. I believe almost all elections are won in the last 2 to 3 weeks. I believe we've had a lot of examples in this primary of Zach Poskovich is going up against incumbents like Bob Corker and winning. And I know we're going to do this. We need him in there. If Zach Poskovich were talking right now and he were to really encompass his whole campaign, he would tell you he's just a regular guy. He's just a regular guy. But he's got the right vision. He's got the right leadership skill set and the right ability to get the message out. And so now is the time. The argument is always made that we've got to elect a moderate because otherwise they'll never get elected. This is the election where this is the year for conservatives. This is the year when we can do it. This is the year we don't have to worry about whether they're moderate or not. Obama has pushed the pendulum so far the other direction, and it's getting ready to let go and come back. And if we'll just jump on and run with this, we're going to take this country back. When I was starting to listen to your show, Mike, in the beginning, what came to mind was the 60s. You know, all you're doing is you're holding a rally, buddy, and we don't all have to stand out in the sunlight, and none of us have long hair. We're not wearing bell bottoms. We are doing the same thing in the conservative movement that the left has always done. But the thing is we always do everything better. We're a little bit late to catching up, but we're going to do it better, and we're going to get out there and do it. I'm going to make a plea. If you have any time at all over the next 2.5, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, when is August 2nd, boy, it's coming quick. If you've got any time at all, please give us some help. Do some retweets. Post some stuff on Facebook. Go to articles about Bob Corker. Look them up. Write comments on there. Put Zach Poskovich in there. I hate asking for money. I hate asking for money. I hate asking for money. But if you have all can, please donate to Zach Poskovich. These last few weeks count. We can do this. I believe we are going to do this. And there is my rant, and I'll hand it right back over to you, Michael.
Well, Scott, I don't hate asking for money. Our listeners on Conservative Nation Radio and Soldiers of Patriotism in particular, they know that I ask every week. And they know that I do so because of my love for Zach, for Ted, for our country, and for one organization that I support, Wounded Warrior Project. Right now, though, I'll play the PSA for Wounded Warrior here in a little bit. I'm not asking you to send $19 to Wounded Warrior. They can wait for a month. I'm not even asking you to send money to Ted. We're doing good here. Let me rephrase that. If you can spare money for Ted and Zach, send some to Ted too. I think we're going to do it here in Texas. I think we're going to do it in Tennessee. The difference between Ted and Zach right now is Ted's got some endorsements that I wish we could get for Zach. We need the money in Tennessee. If you got $5 or $10, I'm not going to be bashful. I encourage you to go to www.zachposkovich.com and donate whatever you can afford. Because, folks, look, if McCain 2.0 don't win, we not only have to increase our numbers in the lower house, in our house, the people's house, but we need to increase our numbers. We need to take control of the Senate. If you, for one moment, don't think that if we lose this election for the White House and we don't gain control of the Senate, if we can gain control of the Senate, we will do good to at least slow down the socialist lies, the socialist infiltration, the unconstitutional appointments of czars. We've got to slow that down, but in order to do it, we ain't going to do it with Harry Reid as president of the United States Senate. It ain't going to happen. We got to have the majority in there, especially if Obama retains the White House. But if he doesn't, and it should be Romney, we still have to have control of the Senate because, and I'm sorry to say that, no, I'm not. I'm not sorry to say this. I still don't trust Mitt Romney. I'm going to vote for him. I encourage everyone to vote for him, but I still don't trust him. Scott, am I wrong?
No, I think you're exactly right. But I will say this. I trust him a whole lot more now than I did 4 years ago. I do believe that he has matured toward the conservative direction, and I do believe he has a whole lot better understanding now where the base actually fits what's important. He's still my last pick. You know, I'd really like to be able to put them all together. They all had a strength that I love. But Donald Rumsfeld famously said, you go to war with the army you've got, not the army that you wish you had. And right now Mitt Romney's the army we've got. And all we can do is do exactly what we're doing and make sure that we send a whole lot of conservative warriors right into that battlefield with him. And that combined with the mass, you know, the far left made up 12% of the population 4 years ago, and now they're pulling at 9%. Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid have even scared off some of the far left with their insanity. I'm predicting another 80s revolution. I believe we're going to go back the other way for a while. We better take advantage of it this time, though.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it took Jimmy Carter to get Ronald Reagan. It's going to take Obama to perhaps get Mitt Romney. Now, and that's not to say that Mitt Romney will ever be a Ronald Reagan, and let's hope that his choice for VP is a good choice. Look, I love George Herbert Walker Bush. Don't misunderstand. I've got immense respect for that man. But Tom Palkin, our former workforce commissioner here in Texas, who was on the Reagan administration, wrote an excellent book called Bringing America Home. And he put into words something that I have said for years. The Bushes, the Karl Roves, while they're good people, they're neoconservatives. And it was the nomination of 41 that immediately put the death knell in the Reagan conservative movement. So we've got to have the right pick. If anyone out there is listening from Mitt Romney's campaign, take heed in the words that you're hearing from everybody on this show. We are conservatives. We're Tea Party conservatives. We're 9/12 conservatives. We're liberty activists. We're grassroots conservatives. If you think for one moment that a moderate choice for VP is going to be acceptable, you do so at your own peril. Because for us activists, we might get out and vote, but you're not going to get the help you need now. And for those that are just voters, you may suppress their vote. So please, please, I urge you, Governor Romney, make the right choice for VP. Real quickly, guys, we've got a line holding here, someone new. I don't know who it is, and I couldn't screen them, so I'm going to bring them in here blindly. Area code 203, who are you?
Oh, it's still me. I got dropped. My call got dropped before, so I called back.
Oh, Aaron. Who is this? Oh, Aaron. Hey, Aaron, what's up, buddy? Okay, well, good. That's good timing because I'm back up at the top of the round table, which would be you, Aaron.
So yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know, I don't have, I mean, I would say, I don't know what I would say.
Well, think about it for a second. Let me go ahead and bring Rick in here.
What's that, Michael?
Go ahead, come on in here, jump in.
Okay, you know, Fred had mentioned in the room that we are traditional, you know, not only are we 9/12s and Tea Partiers, we are traditional Americans. We need to get this country back to its traditional roots.
Absolutely, Brother Rick. Hey, real quickly, we've got one of our fellow co-hosts from Conservative Nation radio shows just called in. Let's bring in Sister Billy. Sister
Hey,
Billy, what? Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Nice job.
Hey, Billy.
Well, let me introduce you to the roundtable. For those of y'all listening, for those of you that are on, Billy Carter does. She is a host on Conservative Nation radio show. She does a show called No Obama Nation, which I highly encourage everyone to listen to. It's on. Well, Billy, you go ahead and tell us about your show, and then interject anything you have to say.
Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio, Conservative Nation Radio. And basically, every week I can find an abomination of this administration to talk about. So, what I was calling about is basically that's the key. And my show kind of addresses a lot of what is going on with this administration going outside the Constitution continually. Executive orders left and right, changing laws without, you know, legislation to back it up. All those kinds of things are, you know, what are going to get Romney elected. But I agree with you when you say you don't trust him. I don't trust him 100%, but I know he's better than Obama.
Oh, absolutely.
I can say it's faith. I have faith in him to do what Obama's not doing, to do what he has done. And that's just basically all I was, when you said you didn't trust Romney, I agree with you 100%. You know, he's not going to be wielding all right away. But what he is going to do is he is instilling faith in
me. I'm listening to you. I'm going through my hot mics here. One of our great guests is I hope okay. I'm just muting some mics right at the moment. Give somebody a chance to clear their throat. I think they're. Whoever that is, I hope you're okay. If you're not, ping me or text me at 817-812-6965 so I can make sure that you get that you're okay. But anyway, Billy, you're absolutely right. I don't mean to imply when I say I don't trust Mitt Romney. God, you all know, every single one of you knows, I will vote for this man in November. I'm slowly bringing myself into the fold of doing some campaigning for him. Will I actively campaign for him like I did Rick Santorum or for Herman Cain? Probably not. I'd rather, right, at least for the next 2.5 weeks, I'd rather devote my attention to Zach and to Ted and to Stephanie Click here locally in Tarrant County. Beyond that, we'll see where it goes. I know that I will get in the tangle of helping Mitt to some degree, but it's not going to be with the same passion that I did for Rick or for Herman.
I agree 100%. The only thing, the passion lies with me personally, that my passion is getting President Obama out of that office.
And that's why you've got an abomination, because, and that's what I love about your show. You get to get on there and rant and do what you do best. Because, well, you know, hey, folks, let me just tell y'all a little story. Scott probably remembers this because Billy was on Team Kane with us. And I had started Kane Nation Radio. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and open up Scott's mic here. I had opened up, I started from encouragement from Steve Williams, a buddy of ours that does Underground Hard Drive, who was doing Kane Coast to Coast and Conservative Underground. I started Kane Nation Radio. Well, I bought a subscription that gave me 2 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm not about to do a show every day of the week. And I'm like, you know what? This is a perfect opportunity. And I hadn't thought it through. I didn't think about the possibilities like I think about them now with CNR, which is now Conservative Nation Radio shows. But I thought, I've got all these hours. I know there's people out there. Brenda Ward took on Women Patriots, and Billy was helping her, and I could tell immediately. Billy and Brenda work good together. They work great together. But I thought, man, Billy really needs to have her own show. This lady can talk. she's got something to say, and she needs her own 2 hours. So Billy came up with No Abomination, which is a great show, and I really encourage folks to jump in. Remember that, Scott?
I sure do. I sure do. And hey, Billy, how are you?
Hey, Scott. I'm pretty good. Everything's going, you know, as it is.
Well, I'm going to open these. y'all go ahead. I'm going to open these mics back up and start pulling some folks in here.
Great.
I just want to say, Billy, you're doing a great job, too. You know, one of the things that Virginia said is that we all have to act. And we are. There are a lot of people out there going, and you're one of them, Bobby. Everybody that's on this show, we're all doing different things. And just thanks for everything you do.
Well, no problem. I'm happy to do it all. And I just, like I said, there's not a week that goes by. You can't find something abominable to you know, discuss. From the lies that are being pointed out right now to, you know, his idea that he didn't have a story to tell. I mean, to me, when you say you want to tell a story, it means you're creating fiction. You're trying to create an image in someone's mind of something that's really not true. And it's just, you know, it's good material to work on for my show.
Well, hey, I was just going to say, and there's, you know, we've got a lot of shows on, you know, well, this is the thing, Scott. That not only did you bring me into Team Kane and school me along with several other folks, my sensei, John, you remember John LaRosa, he's in the chat room. John was my Twitter mentor, and, oh, my God, you know, that's the sensei to me right there. In fact, I developed a social media presentation that I've already given to one Tea Party group over in Dallas, White Rock Tea Party, and I've already gotten emails for some other possible other Tea Party organizations in the Metroplex that would like for me to come and give my entry-level presentation. One of the best things that I ever got after I did it is I posted it on Conservative Bloggers, which is a Facebook page that the sensei, John LaRosa, moderates. And he paid me the best compliment that I ever could get, which was hashtag sensei approved. So, but, you know, when we started Kane Nation Radio, which evolved into Conservative Nation Radio shows, there was one gentleman in Florida that kept saying, Michael, I want to do a show. And I was busy, and I just, you know, I wasn't ignoring. I was busy, and I could never make the timing work. And finally we made it work, and I brought him on board, and he opened up a show, Red, White, and Blue, that is a topical show like Soldiers of Patriotism, unlike Billy's show, which is, you know, caters towards religion and Obama, you know, and all of the ills that Obama's doing as far as the socialist aspect that he's bringing in. Or Women Patriots with Brenda Ward, who concentrates her efforts. Rick came on board, and he opened up a show called Red, White, and Blue, which is a topical show like mine. And, man, talk about a rock star on Conservative Nation radio shows. Rick, come on in here, Brother Rick.
Michael, I just do what I can.
Well, you're a rock star, brother.
Yeah, like one person said, I am the Don King of a blog talk radio.
The Don King or the Don Quixote?
Don King. only with the wild hair.
Say what, Billy?
I just laughed.
Well, yeah, Michael, one thing, and I know that I've told you this many times before, but, you know, before there was a Texas Busted and OwnTheNarrative.com, you truly own the narrative.
Well, I appreciate that, brother, but it took a lot of people, and it took a lot of people that are on this show right now, a lot of folks that are, you know, look, I've had a lot of help from Scott Osborne. He brought me in on this. Scott Whitting, Stephen Williams, who's not with us, Teresa Brusky up in Minnesota, Bill Monsees, who was a state leader here in Texas that brought me on as social media coordinator for Team Kane for the state. It was a lot. It wasn't just me. I took my cues from a lot of fine patriots, and I appreciate the kind words, but this is not me alone. I mean, it's, you know, I took the initiative, and then I turned around and I paid it forward, and that's what I try to do. I think that's what we all need to try to do.
Oh yeah,
Rick, is pay it forward, and that's why I thought, you know what, I can't do 2 hours a night. My wife will divorce me. But what I can do is I can give 2 hours a night to anybody that's interested in doing this, and that's what I did. Let's bring in Rick. Let's bring in. Let's start going back down our list, though. So let's bring in Brother Goldberg. Aaron, you there, buddy? Come on in here. What say you, my man?
Yeah, I was going to say the one other thing is, you know, what's coming out today is that, you know, back in Texas, you know, Dewhurst has, there's a link on my blog, apparently back about 9 years ago, there's a recording that he fought to keep the budget open in order to raise spending by almost $1.5 billion.
Who's that, David
Dewhurst? And David Dewhurst. So supposedly there's a recording with an Austin TV station that he didn't want to pass a budget because he didn't think there was enough spending. There was $1.4 billion of shortfall in his view. And, you know, the problem is that, you know, Mitt Romney's been on record, has gone on record recently and said, you know, he wants to balance the federal budget in 10 years. You know, 2 years after he would leave office during his second term. You know, the Ryan budget doesn't balance the federal budget for another 20 years or something like that. And, you know, so whatever, and then, you know, that's to say nothing of Obama, which will never balance the federal budget. So, you know, we really have to be extraordinarily vigilant. We have to really set the agenda, because if we let these guys go unchecked, you know, we'll die. Doesn't matter who's in office. We will die faster if Obama's in office. But forget it. So, yeah, I mean, this is why this kind of stuff is more important. You know, is very important, and you know, we got 2 weeks to get to win this Cruz election. I mean, 2 weeks and that's it. We don't win this one. You know, we're not going to win it. We need to win this one.
Well, yeah, and you know what? I think people, Aaron, I think people get tired of hearing us say this is the end all of elections. But this time it's the truth. It really is the truth. I mean, every election is important, as it should be. But this one is particularly important. If this man gets reelected unimpeded without having to worry about election again, he's already told us in so many words in talking to the dictator over in Russia. The guy's name escapes my the top of my head right now, but it was in the news. Just wait till I get reelected, and then I'll have more room to wiggle. Now, here's the thing. I was out yesterday walking over in North Richland Hills, which is what we call a mid-city in the Metroplex. And I was out walking a precinct on behalf of Stephanie Click, who's running in a runoff against Ken Sapp for Texas State House District 91. Now, Stephanie's a registered nurse. She was our Tarrant County GOP chair. She's signed a pledge to freeze property taxes for seniors. And her opponent, Ken Sapp, who is a lieutenant for Joe Strauss, whom all of us Tea Party conservatives are out to fire this next year when our Congress goes back into session, she's running in that capacity. And I was talking to the young man who just recently graduated from college who was with me. Now, mind y'all, I'm going on 50 years old. This guy's 30 years my younger. And we were talking about Tea Party and whatnot, and I kind of explained to him. He asked how I got involved, and I said, well, originally I wasn't a Tea Partier. I mean, I've always had the Tea Party mentality, but I started off on the campaign side, and just, I don't know if it's gravity or what, you know, by doing social media and working closely with Tea Party and 912 groups, I became more and more affiliated with them. And I recounted an interesting story that happened to me a few weeks ago on Facebook after our primary here in Texas, in which an establishment GOP woman from Navarro County was giving the guy whose campaign I was helped run for county commissioner, a fellow by the name of Craig Bickley, I was helping him with his campaign, was kind of attacking Craig about our wins with Matthew Krause and Gio Capriganelli and some other folks that we'd fired Vicky Truitt and Barbara Nash. Barbara Nash being a Tea Party person, we just put in 2010. And I said, you know, her point to me was, what's going to happen when you folks become the establishment? And I said, well, my response was, we're not going to become the establishment because that's what you fail to understand. I appreciate your service to the GOP for 30 years, but your way has screwed our party. I said, here's the difference. Where you're content to compromise and put in someone like a Mitt Romney, for instance, we're not. We're going to fire those people even if we put them in 2 years ago. So we will never become the establishment. And the people that we put in office are going to continue to know that they work for us. That's our seat. It's not their seat. What do you think about that, Brother Shouse?
Hello.
Yep, you there?
Yeah. I was commenting on the chat board.
That's all right.
I was kind of listening but not hearing.
That's okay. I'm going to take it to Kurt then. Were you listening, brother? Everybody's chatting on the chat board. Gotta love those chat boards.
I was off getting coffee, Michael. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. I was just saying, I was to anybody on the round table, I was commenting that an establishment GOP person asked me the question, because I was kind of bold and crass with her when I said, look, I appreciate the 30 years of service you gave the GOP, but we're not putting up with your BS anymore. You've destroyed this party. And she said, well, I hate to see what happens when you Tea Partiers become the establishment. And I said, my answer to her was, that ain't going to happen. And let me cite an example. We just put Barbara Nash in House District 93 in office 2 years ago. We just fired her this year. And I think that's the point, as Tea Partiers and 912ers and Liberty activists, that the establishment doesn't understand. We don't want to take power and control it. We want people to do their job. If you're not going to do your job, we're going to fire you.
Exactly. You're exactly right, Michael. I'll back up what you just said with our own story from here in Tennessee. We put Stephen Fincher in Congress in the 8th District in West Tennessee in 2010. The Tea Party put him where he is. He went to Washington, and he has voted for most of the things that he campaigned against. We have a candidate running against him. Will he win? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. If we don't get Stephen Fincher out this time, we'll get him out next time around. So it's not an issue of whether or not we're just going to put somebody in, let them do whatever they want to do. Tea Party candidates, and that's really a misnomer there. There's no such thing as a Tea Party candidate. I mean, we'll back a candidate, yeah, it's the right one. But if they don't do the job that they were sent up there to do, then we're going to do everything we possibly can to take them out. And while I'm on this little roll here, let me point out something that's been rattling around in my head here. I've been talking about Zach's race and how important it is, and it is very, extremely important. But I want to mention another name. We've been talking about Bob Corker. And I linked this guy with Bob Corker, and that's our current governor, Bill Haslam. And we've talked about BillHaslam.com, and that's been spread around a little bit. I stumbled across an interesting new site, which I think some of you already know about. It's called BailoutBob.net. That just popped up this week. So, folks, check out BailoutBob.net. Well, somebody just put it up there. How about that? We got to hook these two guys together. Wonder where that came from. We got to hook these two guys together. They're the Bobbsey twins. Now, they're the Bobbsey triplets. You got Corker, Haslam, and Lamar Alexander. They're the three main wheels on the Tennessee Rhino team, okay?
They're like Haslam, the Trimese twins.
Yeah, the Trimese twins. Yeah, okay.
Brother Ben, are you... Oh, go ahead, Kurt.
Well, okay, I'll finish this and then let's turn Bang loose there. I have it on from a good source that Bill Haslam has higher aspirations than governor of the United States. One rumor is that Lamar Alexander is going to retire out of the Senate before his term is up, and that Bill Haslam, as governor, may appoint himself to that Senate seat. We have no concrete proof on that. It could or could not happen. But we know that he has aspirations to run for a higher office at some point in time. That could be a very bad thing. I label Bill Haslam as a dangerous man. I don't have time to go into all the appointments that he's made in the state of Tennessee and all the things he's done that points in that direction. But let me point to one thing. When he was mayor of Knoxville, he brought sustainable development, otherwise known as Agenda 21, to the Knoxville area, and he brought it there big. He sold out to Agenda 21 over there. This is a dangerous man that sits in the governor's mansion in Nashville, Tennessee, and we need to tie him and Bob Corker together and take care of both of them. Get Bob Corker out of there now and damage Bill Haslam to the point that he cannot be reelected to anything else, okay?
Well, you got my help with that. Brother Bing, are you back with us? Or did you ever your phone line's been open. Did you take us with you to the courthouse, or are you still at home? Or
no, I got back, brother.
All right.
I'm back in black.
Hey, all right.
I got 50 plus vinyl signs and two big old 4x something signs. So
how was Zach doing?
He looked a little tired. He's got about a 10-hour trip, but he's going back home now. But he's hyped, you know.
Well, this is my thought, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, Bing, while I step away from the my end of Patriot Studios for a few minutes. Next spring break, I'm thinking that I will be making my way somewhere to Tennessee. I don't know, someplace where it's central to everybody. So that we can all get together and throw us a pig in the ground.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
so,
we can do that.
Go
if
ahead.
Not a pig, put something else in the ground.
Well, hey, whatever. We throw something in the ground. Maybe we get Charlie Daniels to come over there. I think I might have made Charlie a little mad the other day on Twitter. He been bothering him about endorsing Zach, and he told me he doesn't publicly endorse anybody. And then the other night he tweeted something about being worried about America, and I responded, Charlie, I'm worried about Tennessee if we don't get Bob Corker out. And his response was, well, I think I'm going to call it a night.
I should
leave the man alone, I guess.
Well, you know, we've been trying to get on some syndicated radio shows and that kind of thing, and I can understand their point of view. It's not a local show; it's a national show, so they don't want to, you know, go out on a limb and start talking about what they call boring things, you know. But this to me is not a boring thing. And as Kurt mentioned earlier, you got Lamar, you got Corker, and you got Haslam, and you know they are the Trimese twins, and they need to be separated. They should have been separated at birth or something. But yeah, Haslam is a big. He's a governor. He's got a lot of power, and you know, he needs to go. Alexander needs to go, and we need to get. Look, we just. I don't care if you want to sit there and say that you're a Tea Party group. member or whatever the Tea Party backs you, well, what Tea Party? You know, come on, give me some facts. You know, we have to vet the candidate on an individual basis.
Yeah.
That to me is the only way that we are going to get the true candidates that we want. If you keep voting moderate, then you are going to keep getting moderate. So.
Absolutely. Hey, let's pull in here. We got, real quickly, I just want to find out who's at area code 5. And again, I'm doing this blindly, so if we, I kind of recognize this phone number, but I'm not for sure. But if we get something funny, I apologize up front. Who do we have at area code 502?
Danny Shouse. I got cut off. My phone hung up, so I called back.
I knew I recognized that phone number. Hey, listen, brother Bing and brother Danny, I'm gonna. All the mics are open. They're hot. I'm gonna take us into about a 2-minute PSA real quick. It'll stop on its own when it comes out of that, brother Bing. If you'll just guide the roundtable, I got to step away from the mic for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Roger.
When a call for a medic went out, Alan left the covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Adkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Alan earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero. But Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
Oh, what a great project to give money to help out in any way you can. Wounded Warrior Project.
I'm back, guys. And my
family got me choked up this time there, Brother Michael.
Yeah, I'm a big supporter of Wounded Warrior Project. It's I don't know. It's always hard for me to put into words how I feel about my band of brothers and sisters. You know, I served from 1982 to 1988. I was fortunate. Ronald Reagan was our president. You know, we had that little incident in Beirut. 250 of my brothers in the Marine Corps lost their lives there in Beirut. Shortly thereafter, we had a little excursion. My division had a little excursion down to Grenada. Other than that, there wasn't much. You know, we lived under nuclear detente, and people didn't screw with us like they do now. But so many of our sons and daughters have given a leg or two or an arm or two or all four, and they need our help. But right now, the help that's needed the most, Brother Bing, is the help with Zach and with Ted, because we've got to take this sentence. I would not normally ask folks to not donate to Wounded Warrior Project, except right now for the next week. If you got a buck you can spare, spirit to Zach Postovich's spirit to Ted Cruz. Hey, guys, look, we've got a call in here. I don't know who it is. Again, I'm answering it blindly. Who do we have at area code 559?
Scott Osborne.
Hey,
I got bummed, so I just called back.
I'm glad you called back, Scott, because you're next up in the line. so you,
hit it,
you,
brother.
You were next up in the round table, my brother.
Hey, is that Bing I hear?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Hi, Scott.
Good to hear your voice. Well, we're on a sprint for the next few weeks, Bing. I'm going to tell you right now, after August 2nd, we're all just going to lay down on the floor and sleep for 5 days.
Either that or I'll be kicking like a cockroach laying on his back, man, one of the two.
Well, I actually recommend that that's what we do because we've got July the 31st, we've got our runoff in Texas. 2 days later, we've got the primary in Tennessee. We get Ted in, we get Zach in. I think we need to take a week or two off and regroup, cool our jets, because then we've got to fight until the first Tuesday in November.
Yeah, we have to re-energize after that. But the main thing, yeah, as Michael said, main thing, if you got a dollar, if you can go without, buying a lunch for 1 week, that's $5 right there. Just send it in because every little bit helps. I went to get those signs today, and Zach actually didn't have any of the metal poles, the U-shaped metal poles for the vinyl signs. So I had about 20 here from Santorum when I worked on that campaign that I'm going to use for those. And I'll improvise. I'll do whatever it takes to get these signs up. And I'm going to meet him again Wednesday up in Sparta. So he's going to have some metal stands. But those things, they run, 55 cents a piece, 35, 55 cents a piece. And $2 buys two metal stands that you can put a sign on. That's two signs. So, any little bit helps.
You guys go ahead. I'm responding to Big Dog Music Mafia has just sent me a message. I'm responding to them.
cool, yeah. I texted Lisa to tell you I was back here, so she wanted to get on. Kurt?
Yo.
Danny, you got anything to say over?
I think I pretty much said what I had on my mind a while ago, Bing. There's two names at the top of my target list. They're Corker and Haslam.
Yeah.
I'll worry about some other things when that gets taken care of, okay?
That's fine with me, brother. Danny South.
Yes, sir.
Anything you want to add or anybody else want to add something? Jump in.
Oh, I'm just not letting up until after November.
Yeah, that's all we...
Since
speaking
of
November.
Work has slowed down. I'm donating all my off days to campaign.
Well, let me just say, Danny's working for about 20 different campaigns right at the moment. this is one busy man in Kentucky, let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm definitely working on taking over the Senate.
Well, I got to tell you guys a story about Brother Shouse. First of all, Brother Shouse and I are both brothers in a way that when I say Brother Shouse to brother, I mean I call all of you my brothers. And in different capacities you are, my brothers and sisters. Some of you are my brothers and sisters in the conservative movement. Brother Shouse is one of a handful of men that's my Masonic brother. And Brother Shouse knows what I mean when I say what it is to be a Masonic brother, to be a member of that fraternity of philanthropists. And Brother, Scott Osborne, I talked about Scott bringing me on a board with Team Kane earlier, and there was a half a dozen folks when I first signed up for Team Kane, and I will carry this for the rest of my life, and I don't, I don't say that to be blowing smoke up anybody's ass. I mean this with my heart. There's a half a dozen folks that when I first signed up for Team King, that for whatever reason they recognized something in me and they encouraged me. Scott was one of them. Danny Schaus was the first. Brother Schaus was the first man to message me and say, "Brother Schaus, welcome to the group," and started mentoring me. And I learned, you know, one of the things I learned, I'll never forget, Danny, if you don't mind, and I don't mean to embarrass you, brother. When there would start to be an argument on the old dashboard, Scott, you remember the old dashboard, Danny was always good. He would never interject in the argument. He would simply respond, 999. And I quickly learned that was how Danny's method for diffusing an argument and to refocus folks. And I learned that very quickly and very early in my tutoring by these gentlemen. So anyway, with that, Brother Schaus, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, it was 999, jobs, jobs, jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
And
Scott probably remembers that.
Yeah, I mean, that was just the best way of
definitely
kind of shaking things down and getting everybody to refocus on what was important. And that's so much of what we have now. I'm no fan of Romney, and I'm hoping he will be more conservative as president than he was as governor of Massachusetts. But we cannot take four more years of Obama, him putting any more judges in power on the federal level or Supreme Court level. I mean, if he does that, we're done. We ain't got a chance.
Mm-hmm. Well, no.
Yeah,
we
can't keep letting him sit in there sign executive orders and passing law that is going to be tied up in courts for 15 years, you know. We can't have this. So he's got to go. And I'll tell you what, one thing out of all of this that I bring – that I really welcome is the fact that I've met so many great, nice, talented people, hardworking people that are willing to work for this country. And that I adore y'all, man. Appreciate it.
Well, that's what makes us all such a great team.
And you know, Michael, you refer back to Team Kane a lot. Herman Kane provided us a tool that the moment we looked at Herman Cain and said, yeah, I'd like to know more about this man, all of a sudden we were shoved into a giant cyber office where we could interact encourage each other, plot and plan with each other. And it was that grassroots and that ability that took Herman Cain that first major jump in name recognition. The campaign didn't do that. Herman Cain did that with his message, and we did it by getting the message out that way. And it was great. And because of that, there are a whole lot of people working really hard for some local elections right now that would not have happened had we not all met on Team Kane.
Absolutely. In fact, let me just reinforce that by saying that, you know, whatever happened, you know, however it happened, whyever he came in, whyever he got out, Herman Cain did one thing, and I believe Scott and Danny and Rick and Billy we'll all agree, is that man knew how to rally a group of grassroots activists, many first-time grassroots activists, and with the help of more knowledgeable folks like Danny and Scott and Billy and all the folks that were on there, were able to tutor people and mentor them in such a way, because of the motivation that he inspired. I to this day, I'm going to say, now I can't speak for Speaker Gingrich's campaign or any of the others, but I can speak to Herman and to Rick Santorum. And second to the Herman Cain grassroots, and a lot of folks from the Herman Cain grassroots went to the Santorum grassroots, And I venture to say, well, I know for a fact that many of them went to the Gingrich grassroots. Therein were the three major grassroots campaigns unlike anything we've ever seen. Wouldn't you agree, Scott?
Oh, totally, 100%. And remember the debate where they asked Newt Gingrich, they asked them all, would you like to go back and do something? If you could, what would you do? And Newt Gingrich said, I'd go straight to the Internet. He had learned just recently from Herman Cain, after Herman Cain had dropped out, exactly what was going on in the grassroots on the Internet. The problem is these big campaigns have not quite yet figured out how to keep contact with the grassroots. That's just always where the plug is. Just talked to a couple of people that were on Newt way up high the other day, and basically show that we had the same problem in the Cain camp. The grassroots was working really hard. They couldn't get the main office to really, really cooperate. I guess it's a logistical problem, but, you know, we had a great time. That was always good.
Well, absolutely. Now, and I don't know, I think Danny will understand, having went to Santorum with me, but you and Rick, Mike, can elaborate some on Newt's side. We know that Mitt Romney has never, just like David Dewhurst, and I would venture to say Bob Corker in Tennessee, has never embraced the grassroots. By the time many of us went from the father of the grassroots movement and took it to the place where we all got our feet wet, Rick Santorum and Shelley Altsmeyer, his field director that navigated all of us, they were able to take that raw energy and combine it with the paid staffers. And I got to tell you, it was beautiful. Did Newt basically do the same thing, or I don't know?
I really don't know, because, I mean, I know I wasn't, I mean, you know, while I was supporting Newt, I wasn't as involved as I was, you know, with him and Cain, you know, for the simple reason that, I mean, I was just trying to just wait it out and you know, just tell a few people about Newt and whatnot.
Scott?
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, Danny, I had to put down the phone for a second. You know, I'm the same way as Rick. I did not really get really firmly involved in Newt's camp. A lot of the things that I actually did, I did on the background. I focused all of my attention on the local races.
Yeah.
However, for a while during the summertime, they were calling me in California to know who to talk to. I don't know how they got my number. I know for a fact that these guys like Corker don't understand the power of their grassroots. Because they're not using it. Every candidate in the country should have a Team Cain set up where they can work together. And when you have a hard time even getting any kind of communication, social networking up to a sitting senator, you know, they're not utilizing
it. No. They're absolutely not. And I got to say, Ted Cruz, well, I know, and maybe I was just lucky in my experience starting off with Herman Cain and discovering the – because I got to tell you guys, and I told my brother-in-law this all the time. Unfortunately, I will never get to be proven correct. Had Herman not dropped out and we could have survived what happened, the secret weapon was us. And the media didn't see us. I mean, we can remember back to last summer when we were when Herman was totally ignored. And I kept saying to myself, they don't, you know, they keep saying he doesn't have anything going on the ground. They're not seeing us. Is this a blessing or a curse? I think it was a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing that Herman had always said is, and I think you and others have touched on it, is, you know, stay informed, stay involved, and stay inspired. And, I mean, all we have to do now is just stay inspired to get Obama out of office and replace. Okay, we need four Senate. We need at least four, maybe five Senate seats to turn. You know, just so we can get a majority.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, I've got a new call on the line. Let's bring it in. Again, I'm answering this phone call blind, so cross your fingers. Who do I have at area code 931?
Yeah, it's Eric T. in Tennessee.
Eric,
you know,
how you doing?
Another Tennessean. Hello.
Well, yeah, since you guys were talking about both Corker and Herman Cain, which are two of my favorite subjects, let's look at it historically. You had the second staunchly conservative black man running for the highest seat in the land, and he got thoroughly poo-pooed by the mainstream media. When at the same time you had the first conservative female running in the form of Michelle Bachmann, who got poo-pooed and dismissed and whatnot. And it's kind of sad because when you guys were talking about the grassroots level of Herman, we even saw that when he was still on the air at WSB radio down in Atlanta, right? I mean, think about it. He was getting direct feedback, obviously, from his callers. He was getting direct feedback from his own fellow conservative talk show hosts throughout the South, you know, Phil Valentine and Steve Gill, Mike Del Giorno, Dave Ross, and the rest of those guys were calling into his show, obviously because their shows hadn't started yet, but they were calling in to say, hey, Herman, we're backing you. Plus, WSB also had the polls from their own website, didn't they? I think you talked about that at one point, right, Rick?
Yeah.
When they had the weekly polls, and the weekly polls were getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Should Herman run? Should Herman stay at WSB? And blah blah blah. So that when the speaker was talking about that, and I have a great respect for Newt when he's acknowledging that, and obviously giving props to Mr. Cain, that speaks volumes. You know. And, of course, also when it comes to the subject of Mr. Corker, I'm not happy with the left-turn Clyde that he pulled. I am very unhappy with that. You know, I'm sorry, but I hope Zach does really, really well. And a lot of us are putting – I mean, I can't obviously contribute the time that I used to, but I really hope that he does a really good showing to at least bring to light what is needed, because this say one thing and pull a three-card Monty on people is not fair. Because we all know, for those of us who are in the know, the game three-card Monty has three jacks involved. You never get to really see the queen, because the queen is always up the sleeve. You get to see the queen at first, you get to see it for just a few moments, and then it's just basically a bait and switch. And that's what I feel that Bob Corker did to us in Tennessee. And that really upsets me a lot.
Well, and there's nothing to be sorry about on that, Eric. That's for sure.
I know. It's regret. I think is the term I should probably use.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I get too.
Well, I mean, it's better than having Harold Ford Jr. Don't get me wrong. Night and day. Okay, but still not far enough that was necessary, because it's like Bob is playing this, you know, play along to get along kind of crap, and it just doesn't help anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's the mark and trade of compromisers. We have the same thing with David Dewhurst. You know, this guy...
Right.
In February 2007, he gives a speech down in Laredo, Texas, about how he's for everyone that's here illegally today being able to work. Well, just a week or two ago, he scrubbed that speech from a taxpayer-funded website after the debate with Ted, in which he adamantly denied ever supporting amnesty. This is the old Sam Rayburn tactic of go along to get along. And, you know,
well, that's the key thing. If you come across it, archive it, save it, because if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it probably is.
Yeah.
So that absolutely. You can at least present that to them. Here's your mirror. Later on down the line, because it's kind of like that 2006 report from NASA about, you know, the 30-year average temperature of Mars, you know, going all the way back to the Viking lander all the way up to Spirit and Opportunity in 2004. You know, that's almost 30 years worth of climate data on Mars, and it's being steadily scrubbed from the interwebs.
Yeah.
You know, every link you go to, 404 error. And it's the same thing you're finding with a lot of these politicians. It's the same sort of thing that we noticed, hey, 3 weeks after Obama made that historic speech in Lincoln Park up in Chicago, all of a sudden all of his stuff is either sealed by court order or he invokes privacy issues with the entity, like, for example, Columbia University and Occidental. You know, hey, there's no call for that. You're either honest or you're not.
The media is in the tank for him. What was his thesis on? Has anybody seen that? No. Who did he date? Somebody's got to know this guy, right? I mean, when you get back to the media, I just got to say I worked on the Cain campaign for about 2 weeks. I worked on Santorum's campaign and now Zach. And actually before that, way before that, you know, might call me crazy, but I worked on Ross Perot's campaign when I was a young kid. And I got to tell you, out of all the campaigns...
Wait, the 92 or the 96 campaign?
92.
Oh, okay.
And out of all the campaigns I've worked on, I have to tell you that the one I'm working for now is with Zach Poskovich, that I get the most feedback, I get the most results, I guess, I'm able to interact with them a lot better than any of the other ones. Cain was good. Santorum, he sent a guy down here to Crossville for, a week or 2 days, I think, and that was about it. And I could not get any direction from a lot of people involved in the campaign at that point. But, yeah, Cain did good, great. You know, first thing I did when I got on his website was say, whoa, you ain't had a backup in Tennessee here on your website for 2-3 weeks, so that's the first thing I did was back up the website. But Zach,
yeah, but the sad thing about Herman Cain is the Cain train got railroaded and therefore derailed. And how did that book deal work out for Sharon Bialik? Let's face it, Gloria Allred is the kiss of death, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, you don't want.
Well, we're getting down here to the last 10 minutes, so Bing, hang on tight, brother. I'll bring you down, you and I down to the end. We'll let Rick take us out. But let's start up here at the top and give everybody a chance to say parting words, okay, brother?
Sounds cool.
All right, brother Aaron, your own. Sister Billy, your own deck.
Yeah, I'm really pumped with the way Ted Cruz is going, and I hope we can, you know, can't let up, and we hope we keep it up, and, you know, everybody's got to go online, and everybody's got to volunteer, go up neighborhoods, everybody's got to make calls, everybody's got to donate, and everybody's got to vote, and vote early, and not just vote yourself, but bring 10 friends and neighbors to vote. I mean, that's the thing. If we turn out in numbers, we'll win. So we got to do it.
All right, Aaron. Brother brother Billy, or Sister Billy, you're up.
Well, I'm just glad that everyone's inspired this election. 2012 is ours to win. And only our involvement will help it win, or help us win. So we need to, you know, stay inspired, stay involved, get out there, get people out there, get, you know, just keep the ball rolling. It's a snowball, and we have this great opportunity in front of us. You know, Romney can do it, and we can help him.
Absolutely. Great parting words, Sister Billy. And again, Billy, give us real quickly your day and time on Obama Nation.
Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central. Obama Nation, live every week. And also, we do have Women Patriots on Tuesdays, which is at the moment suspended until Brenda comes back from Canada.
Hey, all right.
Yeah.
Sister. Hey, Brother Johnny, you're up, and then Brother Scott, you're on deck.
Okay. Hey, Michael. Yeah, this was a really good conference call. I really appreciate you allowing me to be on it. I got three things I'd like to talk about right quick.
Do it.
One thing is, I would love to see Alan West be our vice president, representative out of Florida. And I know a lot of people around North Texas here kind of got that same feeling. Another thing is David Dewhurst got all the money. We conservatives cannot allow David Dewhurst to buy our vote. Do not sell your vote to that son of a gun. We got to get Ted Cruz elected. Mm-hmm. And the last thing is tonight at 8 o'clock between 8 and 10, I don't know if you know this lady, Toby Marie Walker. She's got a teleconference on or to support Ted Cruz from 8 to 10. I'll give you that number if anybody in Texas on this call wants the number.
Go ahead and give it real quick, and I'll put it on the chat board, Johnny.
646-200-0248.
Is there a is there an access number?
No, that's just to tell us to dial in like we dial in on your call.
Okay, thanks a lot, brother. Brother Scott Osborne, you're on, and Brother Kurt, you're on deck.
Hey, great show, Michael. I do want to say, you know, thank you for introducing me to Ted Cruz. Been following him, been trying to tweet him. You've heard it here first, for Krautheimer, Crystal, or Rove, or Barnes. He is the next Republican superstar. I guarantee it. He's doing great. I'm glad to support him. I don't want to sign off without mentioning the name Don Miller.
Don Miller in Wisconsin.
If you get a chance Thursday on the Underground Hard Drive, somebody can put the link in there. Maybe Teresa can put the link in there. This man has been in prison for 15 years for a crime that was never even committed in the first place. Sentenced to 42 years. This story is it's an atrocity, but it's like a bad episode of Perry Mason meets the Dukes of Hazzard. We're talking sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Craziness, just absolutely insanity. When this 48 hours and CBS is looking into this right now, the IRS, the feds are looking into some of these people, this is about ready to explode. Steve Williams is going to be playing an interview that he has been holding for a long time. While people said, don't play it yet, hold it. He's playing it Thursday. So this is the Don Miller episode to listen to if you get a chance on Thursday. If you don't on Thursday, go back and listen to the podcast. It's a fascinating story. It will be a made-for-TV movie someday, I guarantee it. We want to get this man out of prison. He shouldn't be there. He should have never been there. He's lost his son. He's got two parents that are sitting waiting for their child to come home. So there's my rant.
And that's the Free Don Miller Show on the Underground Hard Drive. If you're on my page, just go to those that I follow. You can follow the Underground Hard Drive. Steve Williams is my mentor in Blog Talk Radio.
Sure.
Brother Scott, thank you so much. Brother Kurt, you're up, and Brother Schaus, you're on deck.
Okay, Michael. I want to leave the folks with this. This first part is for anybody in the state of Tennessee. If you have in your possession or can get your hands on a Zach Poskupich sign, and you can find 15 to 30 minutes or how much of time you can spare in a day, take yourself to a good busy intersection somewhere, a red light or a four-way stop somewhere, and spend 15 minutes, a half hour or an hour or whatever you can out there holding up that Zach sign and waving at the folks going by. That is a good way to get Zach's name in front of the public. And if you're not in Tennessee and you can spare it, send Zach $10 or $15 or $20. We're still buying signs. We still need to buy some airtime. So let's put Zach over the top in this primary on August 2nd. Okay. Have a great evening, everybody. We'll see you later.
All right, Brother Kurt. We'll see you on Trad-Am here shortly. We are quickly running out of time. We're down to a little less than three minutes. We're going to run a little long, but in order to hear the end of the show, you need to call in now. I've got plenty of open lines, 718-305-7176. If you call in and just listen, you'll be able to hear the end of the show. Brother Danny, you're up.
Well, Michael, looks like you're going to have to go to 3 hours.
Yeah, I'm thinking we're going to have to upgrade.
Yeah. Zach Percena, Ted Cruz. We need to get, a couple more conservatives on the ballot for November, along with some of them that we already have. I mean, the Senate's very important to take over to keep Mitt Romney to the right. And
it is important.
And, if Herman Cain did nothing else,
he got a bunch of us involved that never was before.
Amen, Brother Shouse. All right. Hey, I'm going to park you so you can hear the end of the show. And I guess we'll see you on Tread Am, my brother. Brother Bing, you, and then I'm just going to give my final words, and then we'll let Rick take us out. Rick, we're going to go a little long, so it's going to have to
not
go.
Not a fab, not a fab.
Oh, I just got to say, you know, meet these
candidates.
All
right, Brother Bing, go ahead.
Oh, I just want to say, meet these candidates, talk to them. I mean, if they're a suit, you know what I'm talking about, a suit, you know, then I don't think you want to vote for them. If they're a regular dude like you or me or anybody else, or a regular woman like anybody else, and you know, you might want to take a closer look at them. But each person has to be vetted. Each person has to be vetted by the person that's vetting them. So there's no Tea Party group that can sit there and blanketly say that they endorse anybody.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Brother Bring, we'll see you on Trad Am. Stand by, my brother. Rick, hang tight. I'm going to let you take us out, but there's just one thing I want to read. This is to His Excellency, Headquarters of the Texas Army, San Jacinto, 25th of April, 1836. To His Excellency, David G. Burnett, President of the Republic of Texas. Our success in the action is conclusive proof of their daring intrepidity and valor. Every officer and man proved himself worthy of the cause in which he battled, while the triumph received the luster and humanity which characterized their conduct after victory and richly entitles them to the admiration and gratitude of their general. Nor shall we withhold the tribute of our grateful thanks from that being who rules the destinies of nations and has, in the time of greatest need, enabled us a powerful invader whilst devastating our country. The time is now to arrest and cast out a being who has caused our nation to be in a state of devastation. Brother Rick, take us out.
I just want to thank y'all for listening to Soldiers of Patriotism, and there's one song that I would like to play, and I mean, it's just so fitting. I'm going to go to the hospital.